What's up, you guys? Sean Ross at Fightful.com here with a name you know, Johnny Gargano. But that's not it. Who else do we have here?
We have the fifth member of the Way, Padme, doing her first exclusive Fightful interview, I guess.
Always getting the
scoop. She's
scoops.
Very excited. This is the scoop. I am daddy sitting today, so this is what we're working with.
are we ever going to see like a crossover, like maybe a mixed tag between you two, Dakota and her dog? Her dog did a bit of a run in as well.
Yeah, well, I think we're ultimately building. I think long term storytelling is Frankie Monet's dog.
Yeah, it's true.
And this is the big money match for TakeOver next WrestleMania weekend. It's Frankie Monet's dog versus. Padme. So Padme was a little upset, honestly, if you really want the scoop, that she was really upset that another dog was getting TV time on NXT. You see, she's livid right now.
See, I think it might be better suited for War Games then.
So, that'd be good. We got to get other dogs, though. So, yeah. I mean,
you all did the Triple Threat War Games that one year. So maybe it can be a bit of a mixed tag situation. But you do have a big match on Tuesday. Bronson Reed, North American title. A lot of things can happen in a cage match. The first thing that springs to mind is Johnny's going to get hit with a splash off the top of the cage. That's first.
So everyone, that's the first thing I saw as soon as the cage match was announced was Rikishi and Val Venus.
Yes.
Obviously. I hope that doesn't happen because that would suck. He's a big, big boy. And I cannot imagine. I felt that splash with my wife on his back off the top of a ladder.
Yes.
So I think I'm not good at science and things like that, but I think the added height of the cage and his added weight equals not good for me. So that's my equation for the day.
And you've had a few cage matches over the past few years. I know you had one with Aleister Black a couple years back, but is this like only the second one since you've joined WWE?
I believe it is. It's really only my third cage match ever in my career.
Really?
It's interesting because like cage matches weren't really like on the top of my list of like, okay, I definitely want to be in a cage match one day.
Yeah.
Ladder match was the number one thing I always wanted to be in WWE. And then I was in one of my first ladder matches and I realized these ladder matches hurt and they feel horrible. They don't look as cool as they do. Everything just is bad. but yes, this is my second cage match in my WWE career. Like you said, the first one was with Aleister.
And I mean, as you mentioned, it doesn't seem like there's a nice way to land on a ladder. There's always a corner or an edge or something like that. As far as the ability to work within the structure, like because you haven't had that many, do you have things like racing through your mind? Like, oh, I want to do this. I want to do this.
Yes, I pride myself as being a student of the game. I also pride myself as being very creative with my surroundings. I think I have a decent brain for professional wrestling, and I like to get creative. So I think that's something I really look forward to, is just the challenges and the outside obstacles and different things I can put in there as opposed to just a normal singles match. Now I have way more things to play with, different heights to play with, different elements to play with, and that's something that is very exciting for me.
You also announced last week that In Your House is returning again to NXT. Of course, last year, I can't remember, I think it was actually In Your House, the Doc Portrait thumbs up.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't work out the way that you wanted, but
no.
The word on the street was that Michael Hayes didn't know that was going to happen. Have you spoken to him about that since then?
He did not know that was going to happen. So I remember I saw him. So I took pictures in the gear I was wearing in Your House, at the PC, like a couple days after In Your House, and I'm just putting my gear on, and all of a sudden I just hear like footsteps walking up, and I hear a cane too.
Oh,
and I immediately, as soon as I hear the cane, I'm like, oh, I know who this is. And I look up, and there he is, Michael P.S. Hayes himself. And he says, I saw that picture. I saw what you did. And I said, I had to represent you somehow, man. Like, we needed Doc Hendrickson In Your House. I needed you there. He said, and he walked away. But yeah, so yeah, I told him like it was out of love.
Yes.
Doc Hendricks forever lives in my canon house now. I live in canon. I live in the In Your House. So of course Doc Hendricks would be represented there.
I mean, I grew up watching Todd Pettengill and Doc Hendricks on Action Zone on, like, Sundays. So I didn't know him as Michael P.S. Hayes at first.
Me too. I'm the same way.
I knew him as Doc Hendricks, but you all have Todd Pettengill coming back for this. Have you ever interacted with Todd Pettengill before?
I have. I actually did something. I did a watch-along with him.
Oh, okay.
So he was on one of the watch-alongs, and me and Matt Camp were losing our minds because, you know, it's Todd Pettengill. So, yes, I have interacted with him a little bit. I'm super excited for what he does for Inner House. I think, like, having Todd there is the final, like, I'm going to do chef's kiss on, like, the throwback vibe. And I'm really trying to pull out all the stops for this one. I want to get Milton Bradley Karate Fighters Tournament going.
I love Karate Fighters. Right?
I know. Someone's got to buy them on eBay. I don't know if someone in the office buy them on eBay. I want to bring that back. I want to do this big. So, again, I tried to give away a house last year, but in my research, the house they gave away is now a Taco Bell. It's in Orlando. It's a Taco Bell now. So
the original house?
Yes. Apparently the original house they gave away is now a Taco Bell.
That's a big Taco Bell.
It is. So yeah, I mean, maybe we'll do like a sponsorship with them, or, you know, Nacho's Bel Grande deal. We'll see what's going on.
Wow. Scoops all over the place from Johnny today.
This is just Google. No scoops.
Man, Ari Sterling, you're not going to be able to get him. Ari Sterling's probably sitting at that In Your House.
Yeah, good house. Call.
That's all he does is hang out at Taco Bell. My God. So while we're on the subject of sort of stipulation matches, I'm always curious and interested to hear about the process of the Royal Rumble. And you were in the Royal Rumble in 2019. How far out did you hear that you were going to be a part of that? And what was your reaction? Because if you grew up watching Doc Hendricks and Todd Pettengill, you probably grew up watching a whole lot of Royal Rumbles too.
Yeah, Royal Rumble was always my, like, one of the main things I wanted to do here. Royal Rumble was my favorite pay-per-view, is my favorite pay-per-view. So to just get the chance to be in it, I actually found out. So I had a feeling. Like, I don't know what it was. I kind of got a vibe from people. Like, oh, I might be in this Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And I did not know for sure. I didn't find out for sure until literally the night before at TakeOver. TakeOver just ended. And I think Hunter pulled us all aside. Like me, Alistair, Pete Dunne, and told us that we were going to be in the Royal Rumble the next night. And like I said, it was weird because I had a feeling. Candace was told that she was going to be in the Royal Rumble earlier that week. So she already knew she was going to be in it. But so I kind of got the vibe that I was going to be in it too. And then I was officially told the night before at like 11:30 at night that I had to get ready for the Royal Rumble. So I had to tell, like, I told like my mom, cause she was in town for TakeOver, like, hey, maybe you should stay, and go to the Royal Rumble too, because I'm in the Royal Rumble. So like, it was cool because Candace's parents and my mom got to go to the Royal Rumble the next day and see us in the Royal Rumble. And just, it was a cool thing. And it's just, like I said, it's my favorite pay-per-view of all time. So to get the chance to be in it is just amazing, man.
Got an elimination there as well. So I mean,
I did.
Gender, right?
I did. I got rid of Gender.
And I mean, so when you're talking with him about that, is he like I know that in the past, Pat Patterson, rest his soul, would set a lot of those up, but I know it's changed in recent years. When you're going over that with him, are you like, I mean, he's a big jacked
up
dude. How are you kind of figuring that out?
You're kind of just like, luckily enough, like, I've been with NXT in the company long enough where I have a decent reputation. So it's not just like a random guy in a Royal Rumble. Like, they know it's like kind of a cool deal. So everyone was like just on the same page to kind of make the best of the situation and make a cool moment happen. And like, like you said, like, he is a big dude, but I think I've been in this company long enough where I know like everyone's kind of a big dude compared to me. in a way, shape, or form they are. But I mean, I love the fact that we've kind of gotten beyond that now.
Yeah.
And size really doesn't matter as much anymore. Like, got Daniel Bryan who kind of kicked that door down for us. So
I always look straight to UFC. I mean, a lot of the best athletes in the world are lighter, they're leaner, they're faster. And I think that that's went a long way. You had won a Royal Rumble in Chikara, didn't you? Like 10 years ago, Cesaro was in it.
Yes. So that was the, I'm trying to remember the exact name for it. It was like a special stipulation one where I believe I won like a, it was kind of a Money in the Bank situation where I won a title match whenever I wanted. And I wanted, I believe I used it as a chance for the Young Lions Cup on Frightmare, if my memory serves me correctly.
Do you remember the person you last eliminated in that?
No.
Chase Parker.
Did Chase Parker? Yes. Oh, wow. I'm going to tell him next time I see him now.
Chase Parker. Say,
I talk all the time with those guys how, like, people don't know. But we, like, me and Chuck Taylor, like, we had quite the feud with 3.0 in Chikara. Like, we wrestled those guys a bunch. So those are two guys, like, Ever Rise, obviously, I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Ever Rise are two guys who I think are, I think, the world of. I think they have so much potential. And I'm super excited now. They are the definition of kind of, I know, like, I have a history of, you know, the DIY mentality and doing it yourself, but those two guys are currently doing it themselves. That Ever Rise Live, that whole bit they're doing is just going to the next level for them. And I can't wait to hopefully get in the ring with them one day again on NXT.
Speaking of going to the next level, the Way definitely has. I mean, those vignettes and the videos, and it's been a lot of displaying your personalities, and you were, like, known as the preeminent babyface. So making a switch like that, how do you feel when that's the direction?
Oh, I loved it. Now, honestly, like, I could not wait for it. I felt like I was stagnant for a little bit. Like, I think if you do anything for so long, you get bored after a while. And I just felt like there was another side of me I haven't had a chance to show yet, and I was kind of keeping it inside. Because people don't remember, like, I was a heel on the indies for forever. Like, that was the main thing I did. So to have this kind of underdog babyface role, that was kind of new for me. And I kind of love the challenge in. People kind of see me as this consummate underdog babyface. I kind of wanted to be like, you know what? If you think that's all I am, you haven't seen anything yet. I'm going to turn that upside down, inside out, and create something completely new. I remember back when this was being talked about, I wrote up email documents and like this is what I'm going to dress as. This is the music's going to sound like. Here's what I here's different stories we can do, things like that. And I like had a huge long email that I sent to Hunter and the writers and everyone like that, because I could not wait. I could not wait to have this different incarnation of me and, you know, show the world this side of me. And honestly, I'm having the time of my life doing it.
So I know that NXT has the benefit of working in front of limited fans right now. So will that adjust the way that you all approach this whenever that expands a little bit more? Because, I mean, a lot of it's been heavy backstage stuff, heavy vignettes. Of course, there are still in-ring promos and stuff. But is that something you're already thinking of, or is that a we'll see how it goes when it gets there thing? Because we don't know how anybody's going to react to anything in a large scale. We do at NXT Weekly because we see that.
Yeah, it's very interesting. In my mind, this current era of professional wrestling, I believe the things that are going to really hold up are the backstage vignettes and the skits and things like that, because they're not reliant upon a crowd reaction. So I think, like, people can go back and they can watch these skits, or they can watch these Christmas segments and things like that. And like, oh, this still holds up. This is good stuff. So I do believe things might change a little bit, but it's funny because, like, in front of a very, very big crowd, in some way, shape, or form, I still haven't been a heel in NXT in front of a large audience. That hasn't happened yet. The Way has not been in front of a large audience together yet. So I am very curious to see the reaction that we all get. Because, yes, we are very entertaining, especially together. And that was what we kind of set out to do, is just to be different. Because I looked at the landscape of just everything, man, like the show and the world and everything like that. And I just felt like, man, I think people need a smile on their face. And they need entertainment now more than ever. So I just wanted to try to be the person to give them that.
Speaking of entertainment, when you watch the Bengals beat the Browns, do you do it on the TV that Indy bought you, or how does that work?
I mean, I've never seen the Bengals beat the Browns, so I can't answer that question.
I
will say this. The Bengals are probably going to be better than the Steelers this year.
Yeah, probably.
So, I mean, you got that. You got that going for you. Not better than the Browns. It'd be Browns, Ravens, Bengals, Steelers.
Oh.
But, you know.
You know what? That's a consolation that I think anybody in the North will take, is if they're better than the Steelers, because
yeah,
That's like the enemy of my enemy is my friend,
yes,
type
of
thing.
Of course, yes.
So yeah, I can get used to that.
But no, I do watch the Browns' many victories on the TV that Andy bought me. Yes.
Oh well, I've spoken with a lot of people, including a former trainer of yours, Josh Prohibition.
Oh yeah.
About like the huge explosion of talent out of Cleveland. We saw it a lot, like in SoCal in the early 2000s. We're starting to see it a lot in the Northeast right now too. But Cleveland has like a disproportionate amount of talent in wrestling that emerges from it. Josh had an interesting approach. He said, like, maybe it's like you grow up tough because you're in a cold city. The sports teams don't win a lot. You're used to that mentality of toughness. What do you attribute that to? Is it iron sharpens iron? Because there is a great amount of talent that emerges from there, yourself included.
I think Josh summed it up really well. I think it comes down to Cleveland always has that underdog mentality that's just bred into us.
Yeah.
And like we're perpetually told that we're not good enough. We're perpetually told that we're never going to make it. And you kind of have to find something inside of you to scratch and claw and dig and fight for what you want. And I think, especially in this business and professional wrestling, like that, you always have to do that. Especially if you're not 6'5", if you're not 325 pounds, you always have to fight, scratch, and claw for what you want. So I think people from Cleveland, Ohio already have half the battle won because they're just used to being told they're not good enough. And they're used to saying like, okay, I'm going to show you how good I am. And they're used to working hard. So yes, I do believe that's what made me who I am, is living in Cleveland, Ohio, and just learning not to take no for an answer.
So WWE is always full of change. And as we wrap up, I've always been interested, whenever we see the draft, whenever we see the shakeup, is that something like you're hitting up people in WWE? Like, am I on the move? What's going on? Like, we've heard Tommaso say he just wants to stay in NXT. That's where he likes it. I've also spoken to wrestlers that are like, love NXT. It's great. I'd be better on Raw or SmackDown. Is that something that goes through your head whenever those are announced? And have you had any conversations regarding that?
No, I mean, I always kind of focus on what I'm doing at the time. And in my mind, my goal was to always make NXT the best I possibly could. I take great pride in NXT. I'm sure Tommaso does as well. I'm sure Adam Cole does as well. Those are the three you always kind of talk about when you think of NXT now, is me, Tommaso, and Adam, probably because we've been here the longest. But all three of us take great pride in our work in NXT. And not just for ourselves, but we also take great pride in elevating others and doing what we can to make others better. That is, I guess, the main focus for me, is what can I do to prepare the next crop of NXT guys, the next talent we have to bring up there. Because I do watch a lot of independent wrestling still. I still follow everything. And we just signed a great class. And there's tons of guys in that locker room that are incredibly talented that I can't wait to work with. So I think for me, my position is kind of, yes, I can be the flag bearer of NXT. I can be the face of NXT, but I can also help get guys ready and get guys prepared to kind of take over for me for if I leave, whenever that happens, if that does happen. I want NXT to be in the best place possible.
It seems like that was the approach that you wanted to take with the North American title too. Cause as a former NXT champion, you bring that to that title. And now I think almost objectively, you'd be the greatest North American champion that they've ever had.
I wanted the chance to kind of take that title and also try to make other guys. Like, I am incredibly proud of the fact that I got to have a long takeover match with Kushida, a guy that I thought like deserved that more than anyone. I wanted to show the world what Kushida was capable of. And I'm so happy that I got the chance to show everyone what he's capable of. Cause now you see him now with the cruiserweight title. He's taking that thing to new heights, new levels. And like, I just want to give guys that chance and that opportunity to show what they have. Cause I know there's tons of talent out there and they just need an opportunity.
I could watch him go in and out of double wrist lock transitions all day, every day. Final question. I know you've been particular about wrestling website headlines in the past.
No, boy.
What do you want the headline?
Am I going to be pregnant? Am I going to be pregnant on this one?
Yes. When I was soliciting questions, the guy who wrote that said, the question is, does he forgive me?
I do. And that, honestly, like, especially with social media, I'm sure you just caught me in a fit of just different things hit me all. Well, you know how things go.
Well.
But I mean, again, also to clarify that now on camera, If people aren't aware of how pregnancy works, you have to leave for like a long time.
Let me tell you, over the last year, I have discovered that many wrestling fans do not know how pregnancy
they know how
works.
It works. I know, right? You gotta leave. You can't just pop a baby out and you know, like they're done. It takes like probably a long time, like at least a year to have the baby, recover from having the baby, even more than that. So I just basically said, I'm sure everyone figures this out by now, that I would rather Candace continue her career. And I could go off and, you know, have the baby. We all know, guys, science, I know that can't happen. But, you know, yeah.
And that will only be accelerated if Bronson Reed hits a splash off the top of a cage on Johnny. Then science won't even help him. NXT, Tuesday night, USA Network. Johnny, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks, Sean. I feel like we could talk all day.
So. I do, too. We're going to have to do it again sometime. Until next time, guys, we're out.